Ray. Hi, Ray. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Wright. Hey, I know somebody who got kidney stones, and I've been telling him about the vitamin D, and he knows about that, but he says he can't take vitamin D because an overdose of getting your vitamin D level too high causes kidney stones. Is there something twofold? Is there something that he can do for kidney stones that's natural, and can you take any vitamin D at all?
Yes, he can take vitamin D at all. We'll answer that one first. But he must, in order to be safe, check his vitamin D level. When he's taking a certain amount of vitamin D, whatever it is, make sure you know what that amount is. Go get your vitamin D level checked. It's called 25-hydroxy or 25-OH, whichever you prefer, vitamin D. And where we want to be, for safety's sake, is in the exact same range as people are of any ethnic group who live in the tropics. What's been found is that measurement is between 60 and 100 ng, that's nanograms, not milligrams, nanograms per milliliter. And if we stay between 60 and 100, we're perfectly safe. Nobody in the tropics ever dies from sunshine vitamin D overdose. So anyway, in the Seattle area, and this is not for people to do without follow-up testing, in the Seattle area, most adults require somewhere between 4 and 6,000 so-called IU, international units of vitamin D. They get into that 60 to 100 range, and they stay there as long as they take the same amount, and that's best for the health. So a lot of things it helps to prevent, including, folks, what I was cranking about earlier, it prevents type 1 diabetes if you give your little teeny baby the amount of vitamin D that they told us about in The Lancet. You give it to them every day, and 31 years later, I'm not kidding, that study showed 80% less type 1 diabetes in the kids of the mommies who did that. But back to what you're asking about, sir, kidney stones. And the kidney stones now come in two known types, uric acid stones and calcium oxalate stones. So before I can tell you about prevention for this one or that one, I have to know what type they are. But since I don't know, I'll tell you about both. Now, there was a study done, it was even participated in by Harvard, no less, years ago. And with people with calcium oxalate stones, they made sure that they were having an intake of a minimum of 100 milligrams of magnesium. Good grief. Most supplements have got 200 or 300, but 200 or 300 will do the job too. 100 milligrams of magnesium and 50 milligrams of vitamin B6. And it was so long ago, they weren't even using the active form of vitamin B6, which I have to recommend always because all of our bodies don't activate it properly. Only a minority don't, but that's a thing. But anyway, they were using vitamin B6, 50 milligrams a day and 100 milligrams of magnesium, and they cut the risk of kidney stones, sir. I am not kidding you. It's in these published medical reports. They cut it down from slightly over one kidney stone per person. How could it be slightly over? Because this was a large number of people and they were doing the math. Slightly over one kidney stone per person to, I'm not kidding, the risk of 1/10 of a kidney stone per person per year. No kidding, sir, with just vitamin B6 and magnesium. All right, the second thing are uric acid stones. And uric acid stones, why, those are so simple to deal with. What we want to do to keep some of the stones from forming from uric acid is we want to keep that uric acid in solution. So it's just urinated out. And how do we keep it in solution? Well, the AMA Journal told us in 1870-something. I am not kidding. I went over this last week, too. What they told us in the AMA Journal back in the 1870s was some wise physician had found the gout sufferers only went to these spas, gout being, of course, what happens when the stone forms in your foot, only went to certain spas and not others. He tested the water, found it had considerably more lithium than the other spas where gout sufferers didn't go. So he just found by stirring uric acid into water, pure water, until it would crystallize. That's how much uric acid he could put in this container over here. And over there, the water had lithium in it. And he could put 2 to 3 times as much of that uric acid into the water before it would crystallize, sir. So we need to be using, if we're trying to prevent uric acid stones, the dose of lithium that's found on the shelves in the health food store, which is perfectly safe and we will not overdose on it, is 5 milligrams or 10 milligrams, sir. They also make a 20 milligram. I wouldn't go there without working with a physician. And the other thing is vitamin C, because vitamin C helps sweep the uric acid out of the body so the body can get rid of it. And there we are, sir.
So that's prevention. Is there anything that'll do for existing stones?
I wish there were, sir, but nothing that I know of and have read about. They do break them up with ultrasound, you know, which is fairly safe.
Yeah. You know, you brought up magnesium. I've been, you know, that book that you recommended, the K factor or something for lowering your blood pressure with magnesium. I'm up to 2.5 grams. I've been getting some really severe muscle cramps in my thighs. And I was wondering, is that showing me that I'm taking too much magnesium? Because I don't have the loose bowels or anything. But, you know, I've never gotten those muscle cramps. And, you know, when I used to be an avid runner, when I'd get muscle cramps, I'd eat bananas or drink some Gatorade that had all those electrolytes in it, and it'd quell it down.
Sir, what's probably happening is something that some animal researchers found, namely that with persistent cramps, they would have to inject the magnesium and give it very rapidly so those animals would start sweating. Why? Because those animals somehow had gotten enough depleted on magnesium that instead of having a high level of magnesium inside of each cell, they had a significantly lower amount. And once that happens, whatever the cellular mechanism is that takes the magnesium from outside the cell into the inside of the cell, it stops working. And so they just kept cramping and cramping. But when they gave these pushes, rapid pushes that made the animals sweat and so forth, it forced it into the cells, and then the animals quit having cramps. And as long as they had enough magnesium in their diets, but not too much to make things go through too rapidly, then they didn't have cramps anymore. And, sir, we have applied that ever since Dr. Alan Gaby, who taught seminars in all of this with me back in the 80s and 90s, ever since he read that and told me about it, we've been using those pushes for people with cramps. It takes half a dozen of them, but about 9 times out of 10, it puts an end to the cramps. So You're probably in that situation where those are needed.
Okay. Is there any significance to mild ridges on somebody in their 60s, on their fingernails, vertical?
Sure, sir, but I can't tell you exactly what it is, because a doctor who taught me about that, who wrote it somewhere in one of his books, said that it could be one of several minerals that the person's low on. So the best I can tell you, and it could be two or three of several, the best I can tell you is consider getting that hair mineral analysis. Yes, I am medical director at Meridian Valley Lab, and yes, Meridian Valley does it, and no, insurance companies refuse to cover it.
Well, I've done it already. I'll just have to have my doctor look at it then again and see what might be causing it.
Yeah. There you go, sir.
Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome, and thank you for calling, and now it's time to go to our break. Good grief, I goofed.